today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
An overwhelming character in the music field, a true visionary who realized the potential power of common music long before anyone else. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're a daily music podcast, meaning we put one out every Monday through Friday when appropriate, meaning as long as there's not a national holiday or something like that. Today, you find us in the middle of Patrick's Old Time Music Week. That's right, folks. I have been talking about some things that happened in the 1920s, 1930s, and occasionally we'll dip our toe into the early 1940s, but these are things that happened, obviously, before the advent of rock and roll. And I'm going to shed a little light on these events and some of the key people and movements that shaped the way music is in the modern era. And I've been doing a lot of reading about these things and find it very, very fascinating. So I thought I'd share some of that knowledge, some of the things I've learned, anyway, with you all. Started off by putting a record into the perfect pop pantheon here in Rockin' the Suburbs, a record by the Bentley Boys called Down on Penny's Farm. And yesterday we discussed jug band music, mostly from 1927 to 1930. And today we're going to talk about a person who was mentioned on yesterday's podcast and who has a huge impact on all the music and the music business and the way everything evolved into the modern era. His name is Ralph Peer. Ralph Peer was an American talent scout, recording engineer, record producer, and music publisher in the 1920s and 1930s. He was one of music's first businessmen, but he also had a serious love of the music he recorded and copyrighted. His impact on the music industry as a pioneer in recording, music publishing, and artist management is incalculable. Peer pioneered field recording in 1923, which is a huge development in the history of music, because suddenly artists who live outside the big city could travel to a city where someone like Peer would be with his mobile equipment, and he had set up a makeshift studio somewhere. So if you were in the country around Memphis, Tennessee, you could come up to Memphis, or like in 1923 when Peer went to Atlanta, Georgia to record regional music, including blues, gospel, and country. And suddenly he had all these new artists and songs that were being recorded for him. Peer was born in Independence, Missouri in the year 1892. His father owned a furniture store and sold records and gramophones, and Peer was exposed to a variety of musical styles from a very early age. After graduating high school, he went to work for Columbia Records in Kansas City, Missouri. In 1919, he was hired by OK Records, O-K-E-H is the spelling there, in New York to assist OK's production director, Fred Hagar. Neither the country nor quote-unquote race music industries existed when Peer arrived. He supervised the recording of Mamie Smith's Crazy Blues, the first blues recording specifically aimed at the African-American market. In 1924, he supervised the first commercial recording session in New Orleans, recording jazz, blues, and gospel music groups there. He is also credited with what is often called the first country music recording, Fiddlin' John Carson's disc, Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane, backed with That Old Hen Cackled and The Rooster's Going to Crow. What's more old-time music than that, folks? There isn't a whole lot. Here now, let's take a listen to the song Little Old Log Cabin in the Lane.
The only friend that's left here is that good old dog of mine. And the a little log cabin in the lane. The chimney falling down and the roof all caved in. Let's in the sunshine and the rain. But the angels watched over me when I lay down to sleep in my little log cabin in the lane. How the footpaths growed up that led us round the hill, the sense of all long duty came.
Following the success of that record, Peer was quick to capitalize, and he recorded a flood of music by the Hillbillies, the Stoneman family being an example, Vernon Dalhart, and other first-generation hillbilly music stars. Peer always claimed to have supplied country music with the name it wore until after World War II, which was hillbilly. He took credit, too, for the industry's use of the name race music, and this was music that was recorded mainly by and for African Americans. Peer resigned from OK in 1925. In 1926, he approached Victor Records, which was eager to expand its hillbilly business, with a novel plan. As he recalled, "This was the business of recording new copyrights. I would be willing to go to work for nothing, with the understanding that there would be no objection if I controlled these copyrights. It was a new way of running the record business by placing the artist's creativity at the center and giving them the freedom to express themselves through new creations, while, of course, giving Ralph Peer the copyrights on all these pieces of music, which in many cases went on to be very, very valuable." In the year 1927, in August, while talent hunting in the southern states for Victor, Peer recorded both Jimmy Rogers and the Carter Family in the same session at a makeshift studio in Bristol, Tennessee. This momentous event could be described as the genesis of country music as we know it today. Some call it the country music Big Bang, if you like that theory. Rogers, who later became known as the father of country music, cut songs like The Soldier's Sweetheart, Sleep Baby Sleep, while the Carters' first sides, recorded on August 1, 1927, were Bury Me Under the Weeping Willow, Single Girl, Married Girl, The Poor Orphan Child, and The Storms Are on the Ocean. Peer soon became manager of both the Carter Family and Jimmy Rogers. As we heard yesterday on Patrick's Old Time Music Week, Peer also recorded the Memphis Jug Band and Cannon's Jug Stompers around this time. But right now, here's A.P. Sarah and Maybell, the Carter Family, as recorded by Peer in Bristol in 1927, doing Single Girl, Married Girl. That's an incredible song. It really is. Never, ever get tired of listening to that song and some of the earlier Carter Family stuff that was recorded in the early sessions when they really had that down-home sound. And, of course, they went on to be huge stars, often called the first family of country music. Even though hillbilly and race music brought him success, Peer once said, quote, "I was always trying to get away from hillbilly and into the legitimate music field. By the 1930s, he was publishing songs by Hoagie Carmichael, Johnny Mercer, and jazz composer Don Redman. Peer said he was unconsciously attempting to take the profits out of the hillbilly and race business and spend that money trying to get established as a pop publisher. He founded the Southern Music Publishing Company with $1,000 in 1928, and that company is still going today, I believe. But I know he definitely oversaw it and owned it until his passing in the year 1960. During and after the Depression, he founded a half dozen music branches of his publishing company overseas, and he even started a classical musical arm, Serious Music. He claimed to have conceived the idea of a rival publishers group to the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, also known as ASCAP, 5 years before broadcast music, also known as BMI, came into being in 1940. When it did, Peer split his catalog between ASAP and BMI, a daring move then, but standard practice today. He founded Peer International, a BMI affiliate. At Peer's death, Peer International was America's biggest BMI publisher, and Southern was among ASAP's top 20. Here is one song, an example of one of the copyrights that Ralph Peer held on a song that was a big hit at the time and also re-recorded many, many, many times. Governor Jimmy Davis doing "You Are My Sunshine."
The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. But when I woke, dear, I was mistaken, and I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. I'll always love you and make you happy if you will only say the same. But if you leave me to love another, you'll regret it all someday. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
There you have it, folks. A little bit about Ralph Peer, the businessman, the recordist, and talent scout. And it's very interesting if you go back and dig through some of the existing material that's out there, and if you look at some of these reissues and box sets around music that was recorded in the late 20s and early 30s. There are some recordings of Peer discussing the songs and the approach with some of these artists, and he had a genuine interest in things that he liked, and he was very open-minded, I think. It took him a while sometimes to get the hang of or to kind of get where some of these artists were coming from, especially the ones playing styles that he had never heard before. Some of the folks coming out of the woods and the country who had only sang there, and even some people that had been singing in the small towns in the South. But he found a way to record them. He was innovative and persistent, and certainly this was not an easy task, obviously, to drive around with all this musical equipment in the 1920s. Whether he went by car or took a train, was an arduous task to travel to do all this, and of course to find a place to be able to record and to get the artists there on time, make sure they were not drunk enough to play, but just drunk enough in some cases to get it just right. And really, he played a fascinating part in the development of modern music back in the 20s and 30s. Peer was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1961 and even the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the year 2004. If you want to do a little more reading on Ralph Peer, and I don't have this book, but I certainly do want to get it. There is a book out there written by Barry Mazur that was published in 2014, 10 years back, entitled Ralph Peer and the Making of Popular Roots Music. I found a quote here that adorns the jacket, I believe, and it's from Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan had this to say about the book. Quote, this is an overwhelming book about an overwhelming character in the music field, a true visionary who realized the potential power of common music long before anyone else and who transformed the lives of many of those artists whom he recorded. We owe Barry Mazur a debt of gratitude for telling Peer's incredible life story, his monumental accomplishments, putting them all in one place and bringing them to the light. Well, there you have it from a man who would know. Certainly somebody who listened to all this music, studied it, and led a popular revolution of his own, being a monumental figure, was Bob Dylan. So there you have it, folks. Ralph Peer. How about that? Really interesting. Really interesting character and a fascinating link between modern music business, modern music publishing, and, of course, modern recording. And also the links, of course, that exist between the blues and country and to all the sounds they eventually evolved to. And imagine that whole Americana era, the No Depression era, might not have been possible without Ralph Peer. Certainly wouldn't have been, for sure. We'll go out with a tune now by Jimmy Rogers that was recorded in 1927 in Bristol, Tennessee. We'll go out now with a recording from Jimmy Rogers. And I hope you enjoy that. And I hope you're ready for more Patrick's Old Time Music Week when we kick out another episode tomorrow. And with that, here is Jimmy Rogers, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Once I had a sweetheart, a sweetheart brave and true. His hair was dark and curly, his loving eyes were blue. He told me that he loved me, and he often proved it so. And he often come to see me when the evening sun was low. But they took him away to this awful German wall. And when he come to say goodbye, my heart did overflow. He says goodbye, little darling, to France I must go. He takes the golden finger ring and he placed it on my hand. Said, remember me, little darling, when I'm in no man's land.
What's more old-time music than that, folks? There isn't a whole lot.